2002, we walked into through this door, Hannah and Jenny. Jenny was a very little girl, and we walked in, and there was a big hug, not just from one person, but many, welcoming us. And we were shocked and surprised when we were ushered into this place where there were no pews. Green-colored chairs. Some of you, you know what I'm talking about. We used to meet in what is now the basketball area. We put all the chairs there, and we met. And the first thought that came to my mind was, where is the sanctuary? Yeah. 2022. Yeah. We're here as a family.
Hallelujah.
Standing before the church and witnessing. If somebody had asked me in 2002, what is your plan for your life? I would have said, pitch my tent here in Kokomo and stay here for as long as God keeps me. I loved to work as a physical therapist. I just love to talk to my patients. I just love to interact with them. I truly enjoyed it. I had no other plans, but God had a plan. We look back, and with tears in our eyes, we say, thank you, Lord. And from the depth of our hearts, we want to say, thank you, church, for not only recognizing the call of God upon our lives, but also affirming the call of God upon our lives, and sending us, and supporting us, and praying for us. And I know there are several of our dear friends who are not part of this church, but are visiting us. They heard that we are here, and they said, we want to come. Thank you so much for coming, dear friends. And Pastor Keith asked, question, what are some of the greatest joys? Hannah mentioned a few, but I have to share just one of the greatest joy that I've had is there were close to maybe 15, 16, maybe 17 baptisms. The Lord enabled me to baptize. The greatest joy was to see Jenny come.
Amen.
And the greatest joy was to see Beulah come. Good enough. Withhold my tears. God is good.
Hallelujah.
I know Pastor Keith said, you can have all the time that you want to have. People will not stand up and leave. You can go until 2 o'clock. No. But I'm looking at the clock. It's already 11:10. My sermon in our church in Bangalore is usually for about 45 minutes to an hour. And I know I see some sad faces all day. Please don't do that. Repeat that here. We have appointments that we've got to go. This world is a battleground. Mission field is a battlefield, and missions is a battle. We live in this world, but may I say something? We are living in a battlefield. What do we do about it? Some may say nothing. Maybe there are some that say something, but we don't know what. Can you imagine? And I'm sure there are many here who have gone to the service, who will be to the service. Thank God. And maybe there are many here who have sent your children to serve. Thank God. But I want to tell you something. All of us are in battle.
That's right, yes.
This world is a battlefield. Did you know that Jesus came into this world to wage war? Well, before I start preaching, will you join with me as we go before the throne of grace? Father in heaven, what a joy and privilege it is for us to come boldly before the throne of grace. Lord, you know our hearts. It's prone to wander. Wander from the Lord whom we love. Even now, as we sit in the sanctuary and sing and worship and magnify and glorify you, our hearts are prone to wander, Lord. I pray that the Holy Spirit of the living God enable us to listen. As the little boy Samuel prayed, God, each and every one of us want to pray now. Speak, Lord, for thy servant here. As King David penned in the Psalms, open our eyes, Lord, that we may behold wondrous things from your law. Amen. Man looks at the outside, but God, you look in our hearts. Oh, we greet one another with a big smile and a hug and say we're doing great, but God, you know our hearts. You know what is the desperate need in our hearts right now. Spirit of the living God, fall among us. Break us, melt us, mold us, conform us to the image of our living Savior, Jesus Christ. Keep all distractions away from us. I pray that we will listen to the still small voice of the living God. So that when we leave this sanctuary and walk out to our vehicles, we will rejoice saying, we had a fresh encounter with the living God. We ask this in the matchless of powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The one word that anybody and everybody in the battlefield wants to hear is prevail. Prevail. Other words for that? Win. Triumph. Succeed. Overcome. There won't be any commander-in-chief who would go to the soldier or the private and say, hey, do your best. Do whatever you can. No. Even if their hands are trembling to pick up that gun and walk, they'd say, you can do it. Prevail. That's what we need to do in this mission field. The world that we live in is a mission field. What is the voice that we hear? Prevail. Overcome. Succeed. I told you, Jesus entered the mission field to wage the war. You know where we find that? The very first prophecy. Not prophesied through the mouth of a prophet, but prophesied or spoken by the mouth of the very living God. I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. That's war. That's battlefield. We read in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. He himself likewise shared in the same that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. 1 John chapter 3, verse 8. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. I don't have time to read the entire passage in Ephesians chapter 6, where Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and says, "Brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers of darkness." In 2 Corinthians, we read, "Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down the strongholds."
Amen.
A.W. Tozer wrote a book, "This World a Playground or a Battleground?" The Lord Jesus wants us to prevail. Well, let me pause here, and I want to talk to you about prevailing over challenges, difficulties, temptations, problems, guilt, fear, and the list can go on and on and on. My dear friends, maybe you're sitting here and you're looking at me. Please look at me. Listen. Maybe you're going through some challenge in your life right now. Maybe it's a financial difficulty. Maybe you heard these sounds constantly in your ears. There ain't no way you're going to get over it. I'm here to say you can prevail. Maybe you've heard this voice again and again. There is absolutely no way you're going to get over this temptation. You will fail miserably. No, you can prevail. How can I say that for sure? Jesus said in 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, "For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith."
Amen.
So here's the first thing that I want to talk to you about. If you have a genuine, sincere, authentic faith, not in a church, not in a creed, not in anything else, but in the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, 100% guarantee you can overcome.
Amen.
If you don't have that faith, could that day be today?
Amen.
Please put your faith in the person of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Authentic faith. Like I said, not in anything else but in Jesus Christ. Before I move on, please listen to me. If there is anyone here who has listened to all these words, but you haven't had your faith in Jesus, very simple. All that you have to say is, "Lord, I trust in you. I believe in you." Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 33, "These things have I spoken to you, that you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." Again and again and again and again in Revelation, the first three chapters, what do we see? The word repeated again and again and again. He who... You can talk. You're looking at me like you want me to say it. Just fill in the blanks. He who... He who
overcomes.
He who
overcomes.
Again and again and again. That's not just for us to read and say, underline how many times we see the word overcomes. It's for us to practice it in our lives.
Amen.
If Jesus said, "I can overcome," I can, I will overcome.
Amen.
Well, come with me. Let's learn something about overcoming from our Master, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. 12 disciples following him everywhere, on the highways and byways, walking into homes, going into the synagogues. They're following Jesus everywhere he goes. You know what? It's in their mind. Bugging them, bothering them constantly. How is it that our rabbi overcomes every time? here is somebody who's coming and asking questions, and he answers them, and they go back. They don't just return. They just don't. They come back with other questions, and they ask them, and he's able to overcome. I know Peter probably looked at Matthew and says, "Hey, Matthew, our rabbi was the only rabbi who never sat under a rabbi." Did you get that? Our rabbi is the only rabbi who never sat under a rabbi. There's something in this man. Let's follow him. And they were astonished to listen to the way he spoke. They were amazed to see how he said, "Be still," and the waves stood still. And they were overwhelmed by all of this. But they never went to the rabbi and says, "Can you teach us how to still and calm the waves? Can you teach us how to keep everyone still to listen to the sermon?" And no, but they said, "Lord, teach us to pray." They knew the secret for overcoming is prayer. Matthew chapter 26, verses 36 to 44, I'm going to be talking to you about prevailing through prayer. Prevailing through prayer. Prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. Then Jesus came, verse 36, with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Three things that I wanted to talk about today. Three things, real quick. If you have your notebook and pen, please do write it down. If you don't, and some of you are saying, "Gone are the days with notebook and pen." We have something else that can capture everything that you say much quickly than writing down. Whatever you want to do, please don't just sit and listen, because as a teacher, I know when you just listen, it just goes in one ear, it goes off another ear. Then you go back, get home, and say, "What did he say about that?" First thing that I want to talk to you about, to you today, is aloneness. Aloneness. Why do I talk about aloneness? The Bible says, Jesus came with them to the place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, think about this, this is the night before he was going to be crucified. He said, "Stay here, let me go there and pray." Then he takes Peter, James, and John with him. Now if it was you or me, we would say, "Peter, James, and John, please stay with me. I'm going through a real hard time." No, the text says, and he told them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." And he went a little farther. Why? Jesus wanted to be alone with his Father. Aloneness with God. You know, the Bible says in Luke chapter 22, verse 41, "And he was withdrawn from them about a stone cast and knelt down and prayed." The Greek word there has this meaning. It is like withdrawing a sword from a sheath. It doesn't come easily. Very hard. "All of you stay here. I want to go pray." Oh. "Peter, James, John, stay here, okay? Pray. Go." Friends, it's easy for us to be together and pray. Very hard for us to withdraw from people. God wants us to spend time one-on-one. Corporate prayer is important. Individual prayer is very important. Aloneness with God. Aloneness with God. People keep us. Programs keep us. Meetings keep us. Family keep us. It's always, think of all the schedules that we've got to do. Social media keeps us. We've got to set aside all of that withdraw ourselves, force ourselves to get out to be with God. That's an example of what that Jesus said. And it is not easy. When we want to go out, there's always this pull. Gravitational pull is so hard. You know, as I work as a physical therapist, one of the things that we do is to treat patients who have difficulty getting up from a chair. So what do? We help the muscles called anti-gravity muscles to get strong so they can work against the force of gravity. And don't ask me to list all the muscles, okay? These muscles must be strong. The first thing that you would tell the patient is, work on these muscles so it gets strong so you can go against the force of gravity. Stand up and walk. You and I will not be able to push ourselves away from all that drags us unless we are clothed from power. Well, I need to rush. It's already 11:27. I told you 3 points. I have to go fast. You know, when Jenny was a little girl, and Beulah too, Josh, by the time, he also listened to these songs in the CD, but now it's all gone. No more CDs and DVDs, right? Cedar Lawn Kids. I always listened to that, you know, working with Hannah in the kitchen or helping the home. It's me, it's me, it's me, oh Lord. Ah, now you're singing. Standing in the need of prayer. And the song goes like this. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of prayer. And then I Googled, just like all of us do. And guess what I found out? The song goes on like this. Not the preacher, not the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord. Not my father, not my mother, but it's me, oh Lord. Not the stranger, not my neighbor, but it's me, oh Lord. Friends, listen to me. We have sung that song, but God wants us to separate from anything and everything that holds us back, to be alone in his presence so we can prevail. Aloneness with God. I have a lot more to say, but I have to move quickly. Jesus was alone with God. And what was his posture? He fell face down. Face to the ground. Paul says, when he writes to the church in Ephesus, he says, for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know it's hard when we all come together in the church and we say, let's kneel down for a time of prayer. Some of you might have had a knee replacement and say, now come on, how can I kneel down? Well, I'm not saying that all of us have to kneel down. But listen, please, in your silent prayer, when you're just between you and the Lord, find a place where you can sit down and just humble yourself, bow yourself, and be just pray. Pray. Find a place. You know, what happens when we are alone with God? First thing that I want us to talk about is, in our aloneness, there is openness. There is openness. God wants us to open our hearts to him and be real and authentic. It's easy for us when brothers come together, sisters come together, and we pray, oh, Heavenly Father, I pray for, you know, this need. It's easy for us to pray that way. But you know what? Psalms is not just a song, book of songs, but Psalms is also a book of prayers. Think about this prayer. Psalm 3, verse 1. Lord, how they have increased who would trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. That's not a corporate prayer. Psalm 10. Why do you stand afar, O God? Why do you hide in times of trouble? Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me? Forever? How long will you hide your face from me? You know what that tells me? There is openness. You can boldly go before the throne of grace and open your hearts. May I say something? Family prayer is a very important discipline in every family. But dear fathers, mothers, children, you know, when you're alone with God, you can say whatever you want. things that you cannot even share in family prayer, you can share in the presence of God, which is He and you together.
Amen.
Openness. I also see a closeness. God whispers when we hear. Remember that story? When Elijah was there, and God said, go stand out on the mountain before the Lord. And the Lord passed by, and grace, wind came, and the earthquake, and all of that. And Elijah thought, oh, God wasn't this. God is going to speak to me. No, no, no. Still, small voice. You're hearing me from there, the back row, because of my microphone here. But if I have to whisper something to you, you need to come close to me. In the openness, there is closeness. And that's why we sing the song, and He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share. Isn't that amazing? And He walks with me, talks with me, tells me I am His own. When does that happen? Aloneness. Aloneness.
That's my job.
Second, alertness. Alertness. What did the Lord say? Go back to Peter. He says, can you not watch and pray that you will not enter into temptation? The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Be alert. I know when you are watching this video, and I have to say this, that video was put together by Jenny. We thank God that she was able to do that. But when you watch that traffic and the people who were being escorted, the kids who were being escorted, I know you were at the edge of your seat. But when I drive, I know I tell my people, my family, when I drive, my left hand, my right hand, my left leg, my right leg, both of my eyes, my ears, everything must be attentive. I cannot lose my focus for even a second. Because there are two-wheelers, three-wheelers, four-wheelers, 18-wheelers, four-legged creatures, everything on the road. Alertness. What does the Lord say? Watch and pray that you will not. Watching and praying go together. That word watching in the Old Testament is used for watchtowers, watchmen. They cannot go to sleep. If a watchtower, if somebody goes to sleep, can you imagine? Catastrophe. Enemies can come and attack. Friends, listen to me. We must be on guard. By the way, what did Jesus say? Watch and pray that you will not enter into temptation. We're good about watching something else. We're good about watching somebody's home. We're good about watching other people's cars. We're good about saying, hey, can you keep an eye on my iPad while I just go to the restroom? We're good about watching something else, but the problem here that we have is we must be watchmen for ourselves. Watch and pray. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Jesus saying, Peter, watch and pray. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. I know you want to pray, Peter, but you are ready to go to sleep. You're having a hard time keeping your upper eyelids open. It was sleep for Peter. It could be something else for you. It could be that social media that constantly wants us, keeps us from being alone with God. It could be those ministry assignments that is keeping us from God. It could be those checklists that you have on your refrigerator door that you've got to go A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then H, maybe some prayer time. Watch and pray. You will not go. The last A, amenableness. Some of you are thinking, is that an Indian dictionary? No. Amenableness is what I see here. What does that word amenableness mean? It is submitting or surrendering your will to another. What did Jesus say in the garden? He said, oh my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. Surrendering to the will of another. surrendering to the will of another. It's easy for us to say, my way, I've got to do this. But it's very hard to say, Lord, here is my list. Here are the things to do happen today. Here are the people that I have to visit. Here is the list. Games and practice and appointments and all of that. But Lord, tell me, what is your will? I want to know that. When do we ask? Not after the appointments, but before all of that. Aloneness with God. And finally, because Jesus had amenable, you know, when he surrendered to the will of his Father, others were blessed. He surrendered to the Father, and that is why today in Bible Baptist Church, on this day, each and every one of you are sitting here, because Jesus surrendered to the will of his Father. When you and I surrender to the will of God, others are going to be blessed. Their eyes will be open. They will come to know more. It's very hard for Hannah and I to say goodbye when we're here in Hope. Workplace, very hard to say goodbye. Church, extremely hard to say goodbye. Leave all the comforts, take these three kids, move to another culture. Very difficult. Very difficult. But thank God that the Spirit of God enabled us to surrender our will to His will. And the result, God is glorified.
Amen.
Lives have changed. Hannah gave one testimony. I want to tell you about one more testimony very quickly. As we were sitting and having our lunch in our home, the telephone rings and I pick up the phone and I hear the sound in the background. It's almost like yelling and screaming. Please come and help. Told the girl, Jenny Bila, Joshua, have your lunch. Mommy, Daddy have to go back. Welcome. We'll be later. Just go ahead and finish it. Hop into our vehicle, drive there. Physical abuse going on under the roof. We saw signs of it. It's evident. Yeah, screaming, tears falling down. Long story short, we sat there and helped them, counseled them, and I spoke to them, prayed with her. I had I shared with the father, the husband. A week before we left, he and his wife, along with the daughter, came with tears in their eyes. Wanted us to pray for them. Many testimonies like that. Amenableness, when we surrender to the will of God, when you surrender to the will of God, someone else is going to be blessed. Aloneness, alertness,